You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
On 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za.
The 702 app.
And on DSTV channel 856.
9 after 9 on Mbande. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Clement Manyathela Show. I am Thabo Mthuli in for Clement Manyathela this morning, together with you all the way up until noon. 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial, or 072-702-1702. Big thanks, to the breakfast team. We still have Tsikwe looking at what's happening in the traffic. Matapelo Moloi will be bringing us, the news. But of course, so we kick off the show with your voices coming straight out of a sports-filled weekend, as if it's ever any other way, is it not? I mean, there's always some sporting action that is taking place. And yeah, a lot of you have been having a go at some of us, and we've seen. I didn't watch the match, but as soon as the WhatsApp messages started coming in, I knew it wasn't going well. It didn't really go well for Kaizer Chiefs, but as as it were, we are still building. I think that's the phrase, right? That's what we are going with. But maybe you want to reflect on that sporting weekend and how things went for you. You can let us know on 011-883-0702. The performance of the box as well. I mean, it's a big thing, right? There's a lot of expectation. Philosophically, people were expecting a victory from the box, following, of course, what happened in Mbombela. So everyone who went to Ellis Park simply thought this was going to be that moment again. Well, the bubble was kind of burst, in a sense, when New Zealand saw itself getting somewhat a little bit of its former self, its former form back, and beating the box. Maybe you want to respond on that. Yeah, you can give us your thoughts. 011-883-0702. But of course, there are other bigger issues, national importance, big precedent-setting court cases taking place today. One being that at the Supreme Court of Appeals to hear the arguments in the matter of the parole of the former president, Jacob Zuma. It's a precedent-setting case in a sense that we're going to hear a lot around the powers of the Commissioner of the Correctional Services Department. This will certainly set the tone as to, can the Commissioner, you know, cannot disregard all the doctors and all the people who are on the Medical Parole Advisory Board and just make his own decisions? He seems to think he can. He was well within his rights. Well, we'll hear what the courts have to say. The High Court said no. The SCA is now going to be looking into that matter. And then, of course, it's the matter and the question of whether or not during this whole period in time was actually President Jacob Zuma incarceration, in a sense. He was not essentially a free man. That's what the Jacob Zuma Foundation is arguing. And therefore, they believe he has served his time. And yeah, this time that he's in parole should account to the whole entire sentence. What are your thoughts? 011-883-0702. Let's take your thoughts on that as well. And the outcomes of the Northwest Conference. Does this give President Cyril Ramaphosa a reprieve into the national conference? We'll get some analysis on that and get your thoughts. So we're also hearing that the ministers could be in a little bit of trouble because their VIP securities could be going on strike. And maybe they should go on strike permanently, one would argue, because quite honestly, you know, those guys get all these privileges, but very little work being done for us on the ground. What are your thoughts? 011-883-0702.
Because this journey is better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
But we begin with your calls. Whatever is on your mind on a Monday, I'm sure there's a number of issues that you want to talk about. So let's go straight to the line. In Germiston, Dumsani, good morning.
Okay, how are you, Thabo?
I'm fine, sir. Are you well?
Yes, I'm fine. Yeah, I think there was a gross violation of Jacob Zuma's right.
Mm.
First of all, when the commissioner took the case to the Crown Court, Jacob Zuma was already applying for an appeal at the High Court to say that Charter Zondo must rescue himself, because Charles Zondo refused to rescue himself, so Jacob Zuma could appear before the commission. So And Judge Zondo acknowledged that there is a pending pending appeal by Jacob Zuma during his interview at the JSC, but still he go to the Concord. Mm. Again, you know that the Concord was not supposed to hear
Dumsana, all these arguments were ventilated in court and they were not successful. I mean, ultimately what we the courts ruled that he must go to prison.
The High Court didn't reply to Jacob Zuma, but the Concord also was not supposed to hear the commission application to say that Jacob Zuma must be sentenced.
Yeah.
And it was not the Concord normally doesn't sentence anyone to prison, but
in fact, one of the things that the Concord also said, they gave him an opportunity to say, respond and tell us why we shouldn't send you to prison, and chose not to participate in that process.
Because I was expecting the Concord to reject the application of the commission.
When the courts of the country tell you to do something, Dumsana, you can't just flat out ignore them, right? You and I can't. We are not allowed to do that. Why should Jacob Zuma be allowed to do that?
Let me make an example. We are in a dispute with 702. You go to the
that was
a cross violation of the Concord by the Concord of Jacob Zuma.
All right, man, Dumsana, let's leave it there. That's Dumsana there in Germiston. That's what I believe is a gross violation of Jacob Zuma's rights. Look, you have courts in this country. You and I, when the court gives you a court order, you abide by the court order. I don't think Jacob Zuma should be treated any different. You might not agree with what the court is doing, but we are a country of laws. And when the law has been set, you follow the rules. That's what all of us do. I don't think he should have been given any kind of special treatment as far as that is concerned. Kevin in Kempton Park, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, man. You good?
Great stuff.
You're observing quite closely what's coming out of Kenya. Is it Ruto?
Yeah, William Ruto and the old man Raila Odinga.
Raila Odinga, yeah. What do you make of it?
I was in Kenya for a week, few days before the elections, during the elections, and then 3 days after. I left 3 days after the election. I was there on holiday. So then I just want to talk about the mood in the streets in Nairobi and also Mombasa, which is the second largest city.
Mm.
I traveled a lot around with their Uber and all that. Asking around the drivers, people in the street, the youth want Ruto, and then the older generation, they want Odinga. So what I've picked up, it was very close.
Yeah.
What are we seeing now?
But the youth didn't go to vote though, from what we're hearing. So it might work against Ruto.
It might not. Like I said, it's very close. It's very close from what I had on the streets. And also, most of the people, all they wanted was peace. Because there were people who will tell you that, no, we don't care who wins as long as there's peace. So you can see what happened in the last few years during Uhuru and Raila, where there were violence and all that. They don't want that. Mm. They just want peace.
Mm.
They just want peace, which was quite impressive. So I just hope whoever loses will accept. But it's a very close contest.
Given in Kempton Park, much appreciated. Looking at the Kenya elections, a very, very close call. 011-883-0702. Let's listen to some of your voice notes.
Good morning, 702 listeners. After a great game between Chiefs and Sundowns, we had a peaceful weekend. Yes, thank you, Sundowns. Thank you very much. We had a peaceful weekend. People were talking too much.
Oh, dear.
And we had a peaceful weekend. 4-0. Thank you so much.
There's nothing peaceful about that weekend. Nothing peaceful about this weekend at all. All right, 011-883-0702. You can also give us your thoughts about this past weekend and some of the things that stood out for you. Elton in Elders, hi.
Hi, Tom, how are you?
Good.
Good, man. A bit disappointed about the Soweto teams, eh? I don't know what's going on in Soweto. I support Orlando Pirates.
I'm glad we are all in the same boat, Elton.
You know, I quickly scoffed at Chiefs on Saturday, not knowing that the same would be.
That your turn is coming.
24 hours later, man. Needless to say, I wouldn't accept the excuse that Kaizer Chiefs is building, eh?
Why?
We don't expect such of a caliber of teams like Orlando Pirates and Chiefs. You wouldn't expect the same of Barcelona, Man United, when they tell you that we are rebuilding. That's totally nonsense, and I wouldn't believe that. Well, Chiefs is a big club that has got many financial resources. It has got club structures that support the continuity of the systems that are supposed to be there in any way.
Yeah.
So the current coach that has been there with Kaizer Chiefs as an assistant, and I wouldn't accept that he's rebuilding anyway. He was there for a long time.
Nah, we don't panic. Yeah. We don't panic, Elton. It's a work in progress. We'll get there. It may take some time, but we'll certainly get there.
I mean, the alarms are being raised now. two losses. And the same at Orlando Pirates as well.
Yeah, no, Elton and Elders, appreciate it. Let's leave it there for today. Yeah, we'll bounce back. We look forward to getting back to our winning ways as Kaizer Chiefs. 011-883-0702, 0727021702. We can, of course, take your thoughts. I see some WhatsApp messages as well coming. Morning, Tab. The Constitutional Court is captured and biased. Don't care. This is a special law for Zuma. Mandla in Pretoria, good morning.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Let me tell you, unfortunately, I'm not sure about you, but from where I'm sitting, I understand you are preaching the rule of law.
Mm.
But if the Constitutional Court and the High Court and all these courts are not doing that, there's no justice. If you are saying Zuma was wrong, fine. Zuma was wrong by not going to court. But is the Constitutional Court right of sentencing somebody when the rules are clear that you cannot sentence for a contempt of court for 15 months?
Mm.
And the same judge said that they are invoking a special law for Zuma. What rubbish is that?
Mm. Well, I mean, he had adequate avenues to ventilate those issues. He just didn't use them. He just chose to ignore them completely, flat out. What was the law supposed to do then? Because you're setting a precedent that, no, you can just ignore judges and court orders. If you don't agree with it, yes, but challenge it. There are lots of avenues for you to ventilate that. Mandla? Okay, we seem to have lost Mandla there on the line. 011-883-0702, 0727021702. Some of your WhatsApp coming through as well.
Hi, Tabo, this is Sidwe Letsutsumane. Man, we had a bad weekend sport-wise. You know, as soon as Ngezana gave away a goal, you know, I knew things were going to go down south very, very fast. And before I could finish that word, he had given away the penalty. Man, I don't know, but the youngster, I don't know, man. But maybe we shouldn't be harsh on him. Just give him more chance. Let's see what happens. Thank you.
All right, much appreciated. Thank you. Yeah, Arthur's one is saying, look, listen, let's not penalize the young man. It happens in soccer. Give him a chance. He'll get his form. These are mistakes that happen. These are things that are done, you know, in soccer now and again. You make a mistake. He lost his footing there and maybe dented his confidence a little bit. But let's bring him back in, encourage him, and let's see what happens. What are your thoughts? 011-883-0702, 0727021702. And, of course, there are other issues that are out there that we could be talking about, including the outcomes of the Northwest conference, right? The big story of the weekend, and of course, Others are reading it in all forms of way, the withdrawal of Supra Mahumapelo from the race. Others are saying it's a deal that was struck of some sort that would see him making his way to the National Executive Council. Others are saying no, he saw the writing on the wall that he was not really going to cut it in terms of the threshold, and so he pulled away. If you are from that province, what does this new leadership that has come in represent for you? Is this the kind of leadership that you would have want to be set up and to take the province to the next level? 011-883-0702-072-1702. Hi, is Piwe in, is it Western area?
Chabo, kunjani?
Ngiyaphila bhuti, kahle.
Chabo, ngikahle.
Mm.
Chabo, I want to contest you on this matter of Jacob Zuma.
Okay.
When there is law, it must be respected. It must be modified for certain individuals or for certain type of case. If they say race,
The law must be modified, okay, for certain individuals and certain type of cases. Am I hearing you correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Like in the case of Zuma.
Mm.
Constitutional Court on law, on paper, it doesn't sentence anyone in prison. Am I lying?
Okay, keep going. I'm listening.
Yeah. But the thing is, no matter how wrong you are, but the Constitutional Court was supposed to find Zuma wrong, but not to send him on prison.
Right. Because you're arguing that the Constitutional Court doesn't send anyone to prison. It was an unprecedented thing. Yeah, I hear what you say. It has never done so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the judgment saying that this was such a gross violation of the court order to the point that you just ignore it. That they said we want to set an example to say this must not happen again.
Okay, they were supposed to modify the law and take it to parliament so that law would be implemented correctly.
Yeah.
Not just for themselves, just to modify the law for a certain individual.
Yeah.
It was totally wrong.
Okay. All right. Spiwe in Western area, I think it was totally wrong. Don't agree, but allow you to have that opinion. Mutime in Soshanguve, hi. As Matume, I beg your pardon. I could have written it wrong.
How are you, sir?
I'm well, sir. I hope you're well, too.
I'm well. Look, do you know Donald Trump in the USA?
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump supporters are almost similar. It's like they are twins to Zuma supporters, you know? One, they don't read judgments at all. Zuma supporters will listen to somebody say there's a special law for Zuma, but they don't go deeply into this court judgment.
Mm.
The only reason Zuma is losing so many cases is because he has transgressed the law, and our courts, Mr. Mkhulu, are independent, you know. Once courts start to be afraid to pass judgments because you are a certain individual, then our democracy will go down the drain. So our judiciary must be strong, must not be fearful of anything. They must just have the law. There's nothing that says there's a special law for Zuma. No, he's just a person who does not respect our courts, does not respect the law, and he thinks, you know, because he's Zuma, nothing will happen, which is not the case, Mr. Mkhulu.
Matume and Soshanguve, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. 011-883-0702. I mean, to that point, he is currently in our courts. He's gone to the court to appeal a particular ruling, which means he still has faith in the justice system of the country, and he is a part of it. Why does he choose not to ignore this one? I mean, if he ignored the other one, he thinks the courts are so biased, particularly towards him, why is he still participating in the process? I mean, his arms still matter, is still going on. He participates in all those things. He knows the processes better than probably you and I in terms of how to play the system. But in this particular case, he just chose to ignore it. It was a court order, it was out there, and he just chose to defy it. And we needed to do what needed to be done in terms of the law to say you cannot ignore a court order. You and I are not allowed to. Why should he be allowed to? I still need to understand that particular reason. So we should have said, okay, fine, good and well, you ignored a court order, don't do that again, and then just let him be. Is that what the argument is? 011-883-0702, 0727021702.
Walking the talk.
This is 702.
702.
Right, 33 after 9 here on the Clement Mangatela Show, 702. And I am Thabo Mdluli in for Clement. Still on the open line, 011-883-0702. What is on your mind this morning? What has got you thinking? And what you want to reflect on? What you want to ventilate? Maybe you were watching the happenings at the weekend. Maybe you're watching what's happening now on your screens. The DA, of course, have brought this matter of the Zuma parole before the SCA, the then Commissioner of Correctional Services decided against the parole board recommendation to release former President Jacob Zuma on parole, and the various parties have been challenging this. And of course, today we look to hear some more arguments in this particular matter at the Supreme Court of Appeals as to why the commissioner actually had the power and was within his right to make this decision. But also, we are hearing that the South African Police Union is challenging the current offer that has been given in terms of salary increments. SAPU, as a work controlled union, is saying that their mandate from their members and what they are demanding currently stands at 8% as far as those salaries are concerned, to be in line with the cost of living adjustment, and they are sticking by that. And they will be forming, I suppose, they will be balloting, let me put it that way, yeah, some of their workers to get them to go on a strike, which certainly could have some detrimental impact, especially at this time when we have so many issues around crime that we need to be dealing with. Let's speak to Leseba Tobakgale now, who speaks for the South African Policing Union. Leseba, good morning. Thank you very much for your time. It would be a very unfortunate time for police to be going on strike at this particular point in time, especially with all the demands that are currently being placed on the police. Is this something that you're thinking about?
Buthabo, thank you for having us and greetings to your listeners back at home. Buthabo, we are still in negotiations. 8%, that is the demand in terms of the last mandate we got from our members. But we know from the previous meeting on Friday, the employer did not review their 2% offer. And we said to them that everything that we are referring to, we know there is an issue of the cash gratuity we would be aware of. And that cash gratuity, we want it to be on the baseline so that the pension contribution for our members can also increase. And that is what informs our 8% clearly. And we are still in negotiations with the employer. We are going back on Thursday. And if the employer still persists to give our members the cash gratuity and still maintain that 3%, they're not even coming closer to us, we would look at other avenues, because we know that the inflation has went up, cost of living, everything else has went up. The price of food, price of petrol, and yet our members for the past 2 years, this will be the third year, if they do not get that good percent, better percentage on the baseline. So we will really have to look at what we have to do. And if we have to take our members to the streets, we are going to do that as an organization, because clearly government does not take the public servants seriously. Looking into that, they gave themselves 3% salary increase. When you look at their notches, they earn a lot. And that was backdated to the 1st of April 2021. But we are just saying that they backdate our members on an 8%, at least average 8% backdated to the 1st of April this year. We feel that government is not taking us seriously. They keep on undermining the workers. They keep on enforcing these austerity measures to our workers. And as an organization, we are not taking time to that. Yeah. And we will have to take drastic steps depending on what will be the further discussions within the meeting that we will have this coming Thursday.
So the government is arguing 2% cost of living adjustment offer and the 1,000 after-tax cash gratuity equates to 6.5% when combined. I mean, do you disagree with that?
We disagree with that clearly, because If that is what they were arguing, they should take it and put it on the baseline. That was the bone of contention the first time we had tabled our demands in the PSPDC. And then when they came, that was our position as well, to say clearly we want everything on the baseline. If it is what you are arguing, because what they are saying, it is just on an average that goes to someone who is on salary level one. And when you look at the rest of everyone else, and without that pension contribution, because remember, an employee contributes a specific percentage, then the employer contributes even a higher percentage. But because they do not want to contribute to what that percentage, the higher percentage, which is the 13 and the 16 to those who are in the Police Act in terms of the percentages, because they don't want to do that. That is why they don't want to put it on the baseline. And that is what we are tying them to, because for the past 2 years, they reneged from that duty of ensuring that the pension contributions for our members are going up. But instead, they're giving this peanut of cash gratuity, which is taxable. If it was not taxable, then we would be having another argument. But still, it remains to be taxable. Now, when we look at the cost of living, that even that cash gratuity on its own, it means nothing at all. So we are rejecting all of that notion. We rejected that in the PSPBC, and even this 2%, we rejected it, and we'll still reject it. And if it comes, push comes to shove, we will see at other means that we'll have to do. If we have to go to the street, we will do that.
Yeah. Now, ministers, I said to possibly be left without protection as the VIP units are threatening to strike. Is that the position of the VIP guys?
And the VIP guys, remember, they had issues where they were not, they worked. There is a triple SPC agreement part of 2002 that clearly governs over time. Those members, they made sure that they fulfilled all the requirements in terms of the agreement. They have worked, but they were not paid. And that is what, that is their position. And as an organization, we have been with them through to ensure that their cases at the CCMA, we are with them. We have seen in the Northwest and the rest of other provinces. So as an organization, we are taking that matter. But we are not taking kind to it to say, why after members have worked, who sacrificed their lives, they sacrificed most time that they should be spending with their families and protecting the politicians, and they are not being taken either. Staff management needs indeed to resolve this matter, because we don't see a need to even go to the CCMA with regards to these issues. But we know they are part of the essential services, as the law is giving, you know, those prescriptions, or the law prescribes. So we are calling on the staff management. We've been engaging with them, and we'll engage them further to say they need to ensure that those members are paid as soon as possible, because they have worked, and the only thing that they want is just payment. So
yeah.
Their blood cannot just be taken live like that.
So what's the arrangement at the moment? I mean, do they stay with the ministers over time, and ministers go to events late at night, sometimes into the morning, and are the ministers, or let me just say the SAPS, refusing to pay for that overtime?
Yes, these members, remember, they are given, you know, they are allocated to ministers, to specific VIPs as such. And they are with them throughout, wherever, whether they finish a meeting late, finish at 8 hours of the morning, wherever they are going, these members are always with them at all times, because they are clearly allocated for their protection. So they need to be paid. They have worked. That is their work they were doing. It is not starting today. It has always been happening like that. But why now, where even the office of the minister could spend, even the police at large, could spend around 3.5 billion from 2019 to now on accommodation, on and also even on entertainment, and also on food, but they are unable to pay those who are really guarding them. So we say it's unreasonable. These members are always with them. They are giving them protection. Without them, they will not be protected. They will be vulnerable. So they must do the right thing. Staff must do the right thing. The Minister of Police must do the right thing to ensure that those members are paid.
Lisiba, much appreciated. Thanks for coming on. National spokesperson of the South African Policing Union, Lisiba Tobakhali. Yeah, what do you make then of the demands by the police, the VIP as well, demanding to be paid overtime, but the police also demanding a pay increase that is in line with the cost of living. They want an 8%. The government offering them a 2% and 1,000 rands after tax gratuity, which the government argues equates to 6.5%. Is this enough? I mean, is this part of the reason why there's such low morale in our police when, in essence, they are actually more police than there is the military. But currently you're seeing communities wanting the military to come and actually help with law and order. Is the reason why the police are so, the morale is so low, because of the extent, I suppose, at which they are underpaid, according to them. What are your thoughts? 011-883-0702, 0727-021702, or you can, of course, send us a message there as well. Let's listen to some of these voice notes that have come.
Walking the talk.
This is
702.
Hi, Tabo. Lazarus at Cosmos City. I'm so surprised of the callers that they are calling and telling us that Zuma is right, whatever that they do to him is wrong. These are just the ordinary citizen. Tomorrow they are crying and saying the law favors the rich people. It doesn't favor the poor. It's the same people that are going to be crying. Who has to go to jail? Only the poor, not the rich? If you can ask that question to those guys, please. I will really, really, really listen in 2 years. Thanks.
Morning, morning, Tabo. Jacob Zuma supporters, I'm not telling you that Jacob Zuma was at the court, asked him what punishment should they give him. The court asked him what punishment should they give him. You and I, we'll never get that privilege. We'll never get that privilege to show that he was treated with respect. The court even asked him, what punishment should we give you? Thank you, Sipiwe from Tembisa.
Yeah, Sipiwe, and he didn't answer. He just chose not to participate in that particular process, right? Tembisa in Sandton, hi.
Hi, Tabo, how are you?
I'm good, man. Welcome.
I'm good, thanks. Tabo, well, I think my comment is, I think the Constitutional Court, should have, if they see that Zuma is in contempt of court, but they should have sent the matter back to the smaller court with an instruction to find Zuma guilty of contempt and send him to jail. Not the Constitutional Court to just say, create a new law and send him to jail. That's what I think. They should have done that. Because we need to try.
Why do you think his legal team didn't argue that? And why don't you go and then argue that in the court?
Still, Tabo, even if he didn't argue that, but they should have not send him to jail. They should have instructed the smaller court and said, listen, because they can't just create a law. That's the problem. Why they create a law to send Zuma to prison? Because, as people on the street were looking at this court, how can they create law for individual? It means there's a power somewhere that's want to teach him the lesson. Because the court shouldn't be seen as teaching, dealing with someone, because in this case they wanted to deal with him, which is wrong. The court shouldn't have done that. She should have said, okay, this man is in contempt. They send the matter back to the smaller court, and the smaller court sends Zuma to jail. Understand?
All right. Tembiso in Sandton, those who know the law much a little bit better than all of us, maybe you can weigh in here. Is there no provision for the Constitutional Court ever to send anyone to jail? I mean, is this like completely barred to say, no, Constitutional Court, you can never send anyone to jail? I mean, there are all sorts of things. Right up until now, we've never heard of a rescission application, right? I don't know, maybe you've known, but I've never known right up until former President Jacob Zuma really pushes and tests our legal system to its fullest point, right? There's a rescission application. Rescission application. It still fails, the rescission application. But there are so many avenues that he could have pursued in particular in making this matter and making the point being heard. So if you have any knowledge, particularly in the law, right, this whole matter of it's a special Zuma law that was created, is there no legal provision for the Constitutional Court to send anyone to prison? What are your thoughts? Tracy in Rosettenville, good morning.
Good morning, Tabo.
Yeah, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Tabo. Tabo, I've got a big problem with those South Africans who are calling in and saying that Jacob Zuma, he's just being treated badly by the court. Because as a country, as South Africa, we are in this situation that we are in because of Jacob Zuma.
Jacob Zuma was the president of this country for almost a decade. And every member who was, I mean, every official who was under him appeared at the Zondo Commission, except him. He refused to appear at the Zondo Commission to tell us in South Africa what happened, how did the Gupta families ended up in this country, you know? And today we are sitting, we don't have electricity, companies are closing down, people are being retrenched. He does not want to appear at the Zondo Commission to explain to us what happened, you know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, but the South African people of South Africa must come to their senses and understand that, you know, Jacob Zuma should have appeared at the Zondo Commission. And the fact that he refused to appear at the Zondo Commission and defied every law in the books of this country, you know.
Well, they say he had a right. If he feels the judge is biased, then he has a right not to want it. Just remove that, man. I mean, it's the same argument that he's saying now. He says he doesn't want to be prosecuted by Downer because Downer is biased. He leaked his medical report and so on and so forth. So now he's arguing that remove this man. As soon as you remove him, then I'll stand trial. And says it's exactly the same situation as saying remove Zondo. And then if you remove him, then I will go to appear at the commission.
You see, and Jacob Zuma, he forgets that he was the president. He was not just an ordinary person, you know. He's the first person that should have appeared at the Zondo Commission and explained what happened. And for him to refuse that, he's just being in our faces, all of us as South Africans. Today we are sitting with huge problems. SAPS are falling apart. You know, the intelligence is falling apart. Everything in this country is falling apart because Jacob Zuma destroyed everything.
Tracy in Rosettenville saying there's a hollowing out of our institutions precisely because no one wanted to come and account for what has been happening in the country. Dr. Ranak, I see you. I'm going to come to your call in a moment. Read some of your messages as well.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
We take your call. 011-883-0702. Dr. Ranaka, good morning. Out in Bidoni.
Good morning, Dito. I'm Rangaka.
Rangaka. Hey, I'm going to shoot this Zulu boy there who's busy writing wrong names.
Yeah. Okay, so Nagarangaka is a military veteran psychiatrist, mental health doctor, and I am an activist for accountability and social justice.
That's right.
Now, when I listened to the SAPU representative lamenting that they are being done in by people who are essentially misusing the funds. I feel bad. The honesty and the loyalty of all civil servants, especially in the security services, must be appreciated, must be rewarded in a way sufficiently. They must never complain about not being paid well.
Yeah.
Because they are suffering like all of us in terms of not having enough money to feed their children.
Dr. Rangaka, may I ask, just come in here because somebody who's in that space and maybe you have looked at this. In terms of remuneration of our security services, are we on par with, I suppose, whatever nations are currently paying their police to do the work that they do?
You know, I appeared in this world in 1948 and the apartheid government came in 1948. So I've seen all of these things, how the military and the police were, and the security service at the prison were looked after by their government, which wanted their loyalty and their honesty and their integrity. So we must compare ourselves with what we can do. If the Minister of Police can spend so many millions on a stupid thing like accommodation, I mean, there's hotels, there's places where these people should go, where their own workers stay.
Yeah.
They can stay there. We have to be exemplary.
In
the camps in Angola and so on, we didn't have all of these things that demonstrate that we
went. So it's that ministerial handbook. I think that ministerial handbook is due a review. You know, if you want to go and sleep in a hotel, pay for yourself. You earn enough anyway.
Oh, it's even dead, and it's not being respected. Okay, so accountability is required and social justice are required of the government, of the comrades who are in leadership, that they must respect and appreciate and reward honesty and integrity and loyalty of the security services, especially well, doctors also and all that. All of the civil servants require that same thing, that they must be appreciated and their loyalty be appreciated.
Dr. Rangaka, appreciate you. Let's leave it there. That is Dr. Rangaka there out in Benoni saying civil servants should be appreciated for us to be able to then get the reward from them of their loyalty to the South Africans and the South African citizenry. Refilwe, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, Refilwe, first time caller, welcome.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah, just thank you for calling. Most welcome. Go for it.
Okay. My approach is, here you are a prisoner, you're serving your time. You go before a parole board, then at a later stage you receive a letter from the highest authority that says you can go home, but you are under supervision. You are not going to be in jail. You go home. You receive it from the highest authority.
Yes.
Then someone else comes along and says, no, that person was wrong. In actual fact, you should go back to jail. Is it fair on that prisoner?
Yes, so you're saying, I mean, that's part of what is going to be ventilated here, right? The question is whether was the commissioner, Arthur Fraser, in his legal space and authorized to make the kind of decision. Yes, he was. But was he allowed to ignore the medical parole, which is full of doctors and experts and everybody else, and the decision that he took to send him home instead of sending him to the nearest tertiary hospital and so forth? All those things are going to be ventilated.
But yes.
And then you understand what you're saying. Your question is, then as a prisoner, should you be held responsible for the things that the commissioner would have done? That is another question.
Yes. And further to that, remember, whilst I'm home, my rights have been curtailed. I wasn't a free man. I wasn't running around.
Yes.
Well, is it fair on a prisoner?
It would be unfair on a prisoner if in this case it wasn't something that is orchestrated. So if the prisoner is in on it, and this is an orchestration, then is it fair?
I don't think it's an orchestration. I'm looking at that point of view. Yeah. That's my take on the matter.
All right, Revilo. Much appreciated. Thanks for the call. Is it fair for a prisoner to be taken in and out? Because the law can't decide, right, on whether the commissioner is right or not right. Those are some of the questions then that hopefully will be ventilated. I think it's a full bench, it looks like it, of the SCA. But that court currently in session.